Welcome to Frankly Speaking. What does growing old in America entail? Well, for the 25 million who are 65 and over, it might mean being put out to pasture with no useful role in society. But opportunity still exists for the elderly, and we will discuss how on Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. Many of the stereotypes that exist about the elderly portray them as senile, useless, and sickly. This is far from the truth. In fact, many of the elderly are part of a vibrant population that contain a reservoir of knowledge, skills, and resources. Resources, however, that have been forgotten. With me to discuss growing old in America and the problems that the elderly face is Dr. Jean Mellinger, professor of psychology at George Mason University. Dr. Mellinger, is old age a disease and is it natural?
Old age is not a disease. This is something I will probably repeat and repeat again. I think people need to be aware of the fact that old age is a normal psychological, the things that happen in old age are normal psychological processes. You do get some memory loss that's a normal occurring thing in old age. A lot of times as this happens, people think, oh, I'm starting to get senile. Senility is a disease process, and very few people ever develop senility, and that is a true disease. Most old people will go on through the rest of their lives without ever developing any senility.
Now, how does senility differ from just regular memory loss?
What you get in senility are massive changes in intellectual functioning, and they're very rapid. You do start with some memory loss, but it becomes a very large loss very rapidly. You can notice that the person is having a lot of difficulty remembering. Sometimes you'll notice difficulties with very everyday arithmetic calculations. There may or may not be personality changes along with this, but a very rapidly progressing dementia. What is happening is that there are actual changes going on in the brain, and it is a disease of the brain then, rather than a normal aging function.
Are there any devices that older people can use to cope with memory problems?
Some of the normal memory losses that occur in old age can be really coped with in the same way that all of us help ourselves try and remember things better. To make lists is one thing, something I've done all my life and I know I'll probably be doing more of. To try and pay attention to something you want to remember. I think one of the speculations we have is that older people are not paying as much attention as the material comes in, and therefore don't remember it later on. Try and use some way to actually, what we say, process the material, that is, repeat it over and over again, or try to associate what you're trying to learn, make associations to it. Or even if you're learning a list of words, make up a story about the words to help you remember the words better. All of the things that all of us do to try and remember are also helpful to older people to help them with this normal memory loss that occurs.
What are some of the other problems that they face?
Older people have really three major kinds of adjustments that they have to make as they move into this old age period. One is that there is a change in physical functioning. There's the loss of sensory capacity. Your eyes don't work as well as they used to. Your ears don't work as well. You lose some of the high tones, and that often makes it more difficult to pick up speech than when you were younger. You do lose some of your touch sensitivity, some of your taste. We think perhaps some of your smell, though that's hard to measure. And you, of course, everybody knows, have more difficulty getting around. And your joints get a little stiffer and you don't have as much strength as you used to. This is probably the outstanding thing that people say that they have to adjust to as they get older, to get used to not being able to function quite as well as they used to. And of course, most older people do indeed make that adjustment very well and manage to get along very well.
Now, how do they make the adjustments?
Just in the sense of learning to live with it, but I mean, it doesn't hamper them. They can go on and lead normal, happy, and productive lives in spite of some of the physical changes that are occurring in them. There are specific things you can do: turn the lights up brighter, make sure when you're talking to an older person that the sound is loud enough, and not that you have to shout, but that you're speaking clearly. Second kind of adjustment that the older person has to make is to the increased leisure time that they have, particularly the person who's been working and often very suddenly is faced with many, many more hours of leisure time. And again, most people manage, they enjoy this very much, and they do all the things that they've wanted to do all their lives and haven't been able to. But for some people, it becomes an adjustment to fill those hours of leisure time, something that they really should plan ahead and think about what they're going to do once they retire. And the third thing, of course, the older people have to cope with is more loss. They are losing friends and relatives and intimates at a more rapidly than younger people. And again, it's something that makes this period a little bit a harder period in your life to live through. Again, older people have and do cope with these losses extremely well and do not go into depressions, or not for long periods of time. What we've found as we've worked with older people is that the majority of them are making tremendous adjustments and successful adjustments to the old age period.
So younger people should begin thinking about what they're going to do in their later years?
I think, yes, very definitely, that you should start planning early in life, begin thinking about leisure activities. I'll get on my soapbox here. developing leisure type activities as well as pursuing your work goals. And that what tends to happen when people retire is they go on with the same types of things they've always done and the things they've enjoyed. And those who have developed activities they enjoy then do have an easier adjustment to make. And I don't mean that you have to play shuffleboard or play bridge or something like that. The activities, there's just enormous variety of things you can do, not what we always often think of as recreational activities, but a lot of other things too.
How many of the elderly are actually in nursing homes?
The figures are something less than 5% of older people are in nursing homes at any given time. And that number is actually going down. I mean, that percentage is going down because we're developing more creative ways to take care of people who need some supervision during the day. We have more and more daycare centers for older people. And in this area in particular, we are developing daycare centers where the older person who is living with a family, where the family members work, the older person can be at the daycare center during the day and can go home to the family in the evening. These kinds of arrangements then make it possible to keep the older person at home much longer and not go into a nursing home so soon.
If ever. Sometimes problems that the elderly face are related to health. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think a lot of the problems that older people face are due can often be due to their lack of exercise and taking good care of themselves in their younger years, and that to the extent that we can develop a healthier country all around, and I think we're moving in that direction, that people who develop good health habits are going to have a happier old age. One of the things that does seem to be very, very important is keeping up a good exercise program. And it's never too late to start. I even tell older people that it's time to start at the level where they are, to start doing some regular exercise every day.
Not all of the elderly fall into the category of being grandfatherly or grandmotherly. What are some of the stereotypes of this particular group?
Well, we tend to think of older people, yes, as grandfathers and grandmothers, as crotchety, rigid. Perhaps you can help me with this one, what our typical views of the older person are. Characteristics that simply are not true of older people as a group. The original research that started on personality changes in older age thought that they would find a typical old age personality, and that hasn't turned out to be true. what they found is that you have the same variety of personalities in older people as you do in younger people. Some are rigid and some are crotchety, but the majority are flexible, they're optimistic, cheerful, mature, organized, perhaps even more so than in the younger age group. One of the changes you do find as people move into old ages, some increasing life review, looking inward, contemplating, thinking about their lives and the meaning of their lives, and often seeing that their life has indeed been a meaningful one and that they've made a meaningful contribution to the world.
Is there much discrimination against older people?
In this country, yes, it's one of our big problems, and we are one of the countries of the world that has more age discrimination, which is often called ageism, than any other place. Part of the reason for this may be that we're a new, young country, that we were developed, we're a country of pioneers, people who went out and settled the country, and we tended to value then those things that were needed in order to build this country, strength and energy and youth, really. And as a result, then, that we do tend to have a negative attitude toward growing old and growing and being older.
So youth and opportunity are somewhat synonymous?
In this country, yes, that has been true. And we've tended to glorify youth, really, and as a result, to the detriment of older people.
Is there opportunity for the elderly here in the United States?
Well, I think more and more there certainly is, and that the older people themselves are taking things into their own hands, developing political groups, pressure groups, who will strive to get those opportunities for older people. We've heard a lot about the Gray Panthers, the group of older people who are working for programs and facilities that will help older people. There are a lot of others, the American Association of Retired People, persons. There's the Senior Citizens Council, National Council on Aging, and so on. And older people are taking things into their own hands to provide those opportunities.
One last question, Dr. Mellinger. How can the elderly become more useful in our society?
I think there are a tremendous number of ways that older people can serve themselves, their own age group, and serve the rest of society. I don't think this is something that everybody wants to do, but for those who want to, I think we need to begin to think of older people as contributors to our society, something we often don't do. And to take just the example of the university, I don't think most of us here at the university think in terms of what older people can do for us. We're more apt to think in terms of, well, can we provide old programs or do things for older people? But we can make use of these talents. There's a tremendous amount of talent out there around George Mason University that could be tapped. We could use older people to come in as resource people in our classes. We could use older people to serve as counselors for our students, to serve as vocational advisors, to give information about different vocations, to serve as tutors, even to serve as security guards. They've done this at some universities, so that, you know, there are many different things that can be done and ways that we could be using these older people. And we just tend not to think about that or make the effort to recruit them.
Thank you, Dr. Mellinger.
Well, I enjoyed being here.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Jean Hyde. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle LaSaine Montgomery at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.